This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. Jen Mann, who lives here in the metro, is known for her popular blog, People I Want to Punch in the Throat. That led to a New York Times best-selling book of the same name. As you might be able to figure out, Jen does not often mince words, but even her most diehard fans will admit that in her latest book, Midlife Bites, Anyone Else Falling Apart or Is It Just Me?, Jen is unflinchingly, sometimes brutally, honest about a topic rarely discussed, and that's the midlife crises of women. From how her body and maybe her marriage are holding up or falling apart, to the challenge of making friends, to her sex life, Mann takes a look at her life and where it has led her and the valuable lessons she's learned along the way. Jen Mann, welcome back to Up to Date. It's always good to have you here.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be here.
You know, you woke up one morning just a few days before your 47th birthday, and as you put it in the book, you took a long, painfully honest look in the mirror, and that set off an internal dialogue appraising your life. What were you saying to yourself?
Well,
what weren't you saying to yourself? Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. Well, I think the thing was, is that I was kind of smug. I had got through 40 and 45 without any problem. And I really thought I had conquered this whole midlife slump thing. And I thought, what's the big deal? And then when I got to 47, I was like, I don't care how good your genes are. I don't care how good your medicine is. Like, you really are halfway done. Like, you are, there's no denying it anymore. And then I don't know, my brain just kind of started spiraling and I started thinking about what all I've accomplished at this point. Is it enough? Have I done enough? I looked at my kids, they're teenagers, and I'm like, why are they so mean to me? You know, did I do a bad job raising them? Are they going to be like contributing members of society? I looked at my husband and I was like, has he always chewed like that? Are we going to eat meals for the next 20 years and he's still going to chew like that? And, yeah. You know, and have I always been such a jerk? So, I mean, it's just all these things. It just all hit me at once.
So you wound up taking to your blog on July 8th, 2019. You spilled your guts about all these things you were experiencing. You were nervous about what the reactions would be out there when you wrote this blog post. What happened?
Just the opposite. Yeah. I was really kind of worried. I'm known for writing funny stuff and right. This was not a funny post. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm either going to start a really important conversation or I've just blown up my entire career. but luckily, the messages started rolling in almost immediately. And it was just what you suspected. I am not alone, which, mm-hmm. You know, we all think we're alone. We know we're not. Like, deep down, we know we're not, if we really think about it. But when you're in the middle of a spiral, you kind of think you're the only person feeling that way. And so it was really amazing to have my online community come back and sort of let me know that, no, you're not the only one going crazy. We're all going crazy.
Which is always a good feeling, right? To know that you're not alone out there.
Right. If we're going to do it, let's do it together, right?
So
it was just this overwhelming response, which was great.
One of the things you wrote in that blog post that day was, I need to find my funny again. It's your trademark, after all, to find humor almost anywhere. Did you ever figure out where your humor went?
Well, I think it went with the overthinking. I think, mm-hmm. You know, I have not, you know, I went through a stage probably, I think we all did, you know, when we were teenagers and, you know, young adults, where you kind of overthought everything and you'd stay up late at night worrying about all the weird things you said that day. Or maybe I'm the only one who did that. I don't know. But I'd kind of gotten away from that and I was able to make fun of everything, myself and everything around me. And I realized that for the last year or so before that, before I wrote that blog post, that I'd really been taking everything serious again. I had just really been overthinking everything and sort of worrying about what everybody thought and censoring myself. And so I wasn't near as funny. And I realized that I need to be able to laugh at myself and at the world. Otherwise, I'm miserable. So I had to find it again.
You know, it's interesting to me that we're sitting here talking about Jen Mann's midlife crisis when typically you associate that phrase, at least I do, with men, and we don't really know what the female version of a midlife crisis looks like. And clearly, it seems like you found the answer to that.
Well,
congratulations.
I think, you know, it's a, right? Like, what is it? It's like that cliche where, you know, you guys get to go buy sports cars
yeah,
and hair plugs.
Right.
And, you know, and I think what it is with us is that we become crazy, you know, like, you know, you start to realize all your life you meet these older women and someone will whisper and they're like, oh, stay away from her. She's crazy, you know? And it's like, she's not crazy. She's just awake. Finally, she's just finally waking up to the world and thinking like, why is it like this? Why am I living like this? What is happening right now? And so, and I think a lot of women don't have time. I mean, I think that was something else I said was, I was like, I don't have time for a midlife crisis. You should see my to-do list. Like, I would love to run away, but I can't.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a lot of self-medicating. And I think it's a lot of just sort of probably bad behaviors and things like that. And so we have to talk about it more, because I think a lot of us just weren't talking about it. We were, you know, everyone, you say, how are you? And they're like, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm so fine.
Yeah. And maybe not. Well, one thing you did in response to all this is you went to Facebook and you started this private group called Midlife Bites, which is the name of your new book. The purpose of that group is what?
The purpose was really just to bring women together where we could have honest conversations. Once the blog post sort of took off and I started hearing from women and they were saying, you know, I have so much to say, and they were emailing me directly, you know, and I thought, we need to have, like, I only know what I've been through and what works for me and what I've experienced. And I thought, I need to have a place where we can all kind of talk together and help each other. And I've always had a pretty large presence on Facebook, and I have a lot of other private communities and public communities on there. And so I just thought, I'm just going to create a new group and I'm going to see who wants to join. And so now we have 28,000 women in there, and we talk about
28,000, Jen?
28,000. Yeah.
Well, I guess that says something right there, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a need, and I guess we're figuring it out together, because we talk about everything. Nothing is off limits, and nothing, you know, we have a rule that if it doesn't apply to you, then keep scrolling, because it doesn't matter. It applies to somebody, and somebody will help you. We'll talk about it later, kind of thing.
Hey, how much courage do you need to be as honest and as frank as you're being now about the different challenges you're facing? Because it strikes me, this is sort of the ethos of our new era. People are much more open about their struggles than they ever used to be before. And I'm just old enough to think now that, man, it takes guts to be as honest as you're being.
TMI, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I always thought I was kind of an open book. You know, I have several memoirs at this point that I've written as people I want to punch in the throat, and I tell all these stories, but there was still a large part of my life that I really am private about. I'm very quiet. You know, I don't show pictures of my children, and I don't reveal their names, and, you know, all these things. I've had really hard boundaries, and I realized that I really had not talked about sort of what I was feeling. That wasn't, not that I'm not, you know, toxic positivity, but I do try to put like a funny spin on everything at least. And I couldn't make this funny yet, so I couldn't talk about it yet.
Mm-hmm. And this book isn't as funny as your other books. I mean, it takes a while before you get to a laugh out loud moment.
Right. It's got to warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that was something my editor and I struggled with, because it's like, we wanted to sort of, you know, we wanted it to be sort of on topic, you know, and kind of give you the chronological of how everything happened. But on the other hand, I was like, man, it is not funny, like at the beginning. And she was like, I know, it's okay, we'll get there. And so, and I think, and I credit her too, that she pushed me to be more honest. You know, we went through, I bet this book has been through 7 or 8 drafts at this point. Wow. It is not the book that we started out with. It's not even the concept that we started out with. But, you know, she would come back and she'd say like, I think you can, the word she kept using was vulnerable, be more vulnerable. And I was like, I don't like vulnerable.
Vulnerable's hard. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, can I just make a funny joke, please? And she's like, be more vulnerable.
That's interesting. I'm visiting with author Jen Mann, who lives here in the Metro, about her new book, Midlife Bites. Anyone else falling apart, or is it just me? You know, one thing you noted that many women experience is, you know, what you do, what has to happen after the kids are grown and gone. I'm wondering about you. What purpose do you think you'll have once your role as mom begins to fade a little bit?
I know, right? I mean, being a mom is a huge part of my life, and it is a huge part of my purpose. And from what I understand, I don't know that it, I think it just shifts. It just changes. I mean, my mom lives 5 miles from me. I'm still very close to her. I see her all the time. She still is my mom. So I think that my role as my kid's mom will kind of change a little bit. And then I think my purpose, though, has always been to sort of entertain people and make sure that they laugh and make sure that they feel included. And just to kind of to start these tough conversations that nobody else wants to talk about. I think that's a new purpose of mine now, is that I just am going to talk about things that maybe nice ladies aren't supposed to talk about, but we're going to talk about it.
One thing you write in here is important, I think. You write this: keep in mind that purposes can change and evolve over time, but one thing is for certain, you must always have one. What happens when you don't, do you think?
I think that's when people feel very lost. And I think that's a lot of it when, you know, if, and I think you can't, what is it? You can't put all your eggs in one basket, you know? And I think that's the thing, that you have to have a lot of different interests and a lot of different things kind of getting you out of bed in the morning and pushing you along. And because when it's just one thing and you've put all your effort into that thing and that thing changes or something, you know, happens, then you kind of lose your, you lose your direction. So, that's why I think they evolve and change, and you're just kind of always looking for what's next.
Mm-hmm. You spend some time in the book on the topic of friends, and you freely admit that you're not everybody's cup of tea. How difficult has it been, you know, making friends at this point in your life? Because I found it to be a whole different kind of deal now.
Yeah. So when I first created the Midlife Bites group on Facebook, that was a real, that was probably the main topic everybody wanted to talk about, was that how do I find friends? Because so many of us have kids that are now in high school or college, and you don't have sort of those built-in friendships with the parents of your friend, your kids' friends kind of thing. And so, and you don't even have the activities to go to. You're not volunteering at the school or at the sporting events or whatever. And so friends are tough. And I am a really hard friend because I say no to a lot of things. Like, I really am a homebody, and I hate putting on pants and leaving my house. And so, and it's not that I don't want to hang out. I just, the effort kind of exhausts me of it all. And so what I've realized is that I had to say yes. You know, so many of us, I think there's so many advice books out there for women right now about saying no, that we have too much on our plates. But I am a person who I needed to say yes more. And so that's when I, you know, I kind of made a deal with myself that anytime someone invited me to do something, I would say yes, and I would go try it and see. And guess what? I have friends now, Steve. So it kind of works.
So saying yes made a big difference for you, Jen. Good for you.
It did. Yeah.
Again, our guest is Jen Mann. Her new book, Midlife Bites, Anyone Else Falling Apart, or Is It Just Me? Jen's talking about her own midlife crisis. For a woman, something maybe a little different than some of what we're used to here. You know, the chapter on bodily changes that occur by midlife, this is a tough one here. You point out that the unfair pressure on women to maintain youthful looks. There are, you say, three possible approaches to an aging body: fight it to the death, abandon all hope, or age gracefully with some mind over body stuff. Which one did you choose?
I think I'm doing the aging gracefully thing. I'm still dyeing my hair at this point. I tried to go gray when we were all locked down and we couldn't get our hair done anyway. So right. I thought, oh, this will be a perfect time. I'll go gray. And I don't have, like, you know how you see these women that have like this beautiful gray or silver hair? Like, I don't have that. And I was just like so disappointed. And so I had to go back to the stylist. It was the first thing I could do. I was like, I will wear a mask if you will dye my hair for me.
Right.
But yeah, I think you just, and that's the thing. I think everybody has to choose the path that works best for them and what makes them happy and not worry about what anybody else thinks. Cause I still remember I had gray hair and my dad stopped by to drop off. I think I needed flour, and he dropped off on my porch and he saw me from a distance and he was like, is everything okay? He's like, you're so gray. I was like, well, we're in a pandemic. I can't do my hair. Like, this is what I look like now.
Yeah. Know? Right. 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 Get you're used
old,
to it,
sir,
bucko.
And I'm old.
Yeah. Tell us about the photo your Aunt Lorna found and what it helped you realize.
Oh, so that one was my aunt and I had to think for a minute because I change everybody's name. Oh. It was my Aunt Lorna. So, yeah. So when I was in, I guess I was right out of college, and I went on a trip with my aunt. She's single. And we went on a trip and they took a picture of us at a dinner. And she found it a few years ago and showed it to me again. And, you know, and I thought when I looked at that picture, all I could think was like, oh, look how young I was, like, you know, no wrinkles, no gray hair, and I was, of course, thinner and fitter, and you know, but then I started thinking about it, and my mom sort of saw it. My mom was like, yeah, but you look better now because you're like happier, you know. That girl wasn't happy. And I didn't realize then, you know, it's one of those things where you look back, there's like that meme where you're like, you know, I wish I weighed as much as I did when I thought I was fat, kind of thing. Like, you kind of look back on all that stuff and you think, you were so miserable, why were you so unhappy? Like, try to. So now I'm trying to embrace where I am now and appreciate where I am now.
That's interesting. You know, a promise you made to the readers of Midlife Bites is that you would be completely honest, that you wouldn't lie. So I'm wondering about the chapter that you dive into in the book. Are we going to get divorced? Relationships take work. That's a full name of the chapter there that looks at your own marriage. How tough was it to dive into that? And I just was curious what your husband might have thought.
So that one was a tough chapter to write. And that one was one where my editor really kind of pushed for more. She, you know, she really kind of felt like, you know, there'd be times where she's like, you're letting him off easy, keep going, you know, something like that. And, but you know, honestly, it was very cathartic because my husband and I have a really great husband. You've met him. And,
yes.
And he is one who he is not afraid to have these kinds of hard conversations. And so we have really honest, really tough conversations. So I don't think it surprised him at all, but I think that we try to work through things as much as possible with honesty, as much as we can. And I think that that's another thing that happens, you know, after 20 years, you know, you kind of reach a point where you're sort of like, well, this has been a good run. Do we want to keep working at this? Or do we want to just like call it good? And thank goodness for me, he's like, no, I want to keep working at this. Like, what are you doing? You know, let's go. So
and it was so harder for you to do than maybe harder than it was for him. It sounds like.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing was a surprise.
Were there one or two things that came out of those conversations that has given your relationship a little bit of a boost?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was one of those things where we could talk about, we agreed to sort of not let it get quiet again, because that was part of the problem, was that I really wasn't being honest with him. And I wasn't talking to him about sort of what I was feeling and what I was going through. I was putting on a happy face and just acting like everything was great, and it wasn't. And so what we've decided now is like, I mean, like we have like, you know, 3 times a week or something like that. We like have check-ins, you know, we talk to each other, we make an effort, we put it on our calendar, and we have conversations about what's going on and what we're thinking and where we're headed. So, and I think that's really productive.
And putting it on the calendar helps you ensure that it's actually going to happen. It sounds like.
It does. Yeah. Because then it's like a thing, you know, it's like, you don't ignore things that are on your calendar.
If it's on your calendar, then it really has to matter, I guess, to put it on your calendar. Right. That's why you put it there. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, in talking in the book, you talk with your friend Isabel about happiness. And she said, I try very hard not to let negativity into my life. And then you jokingly responded by saying, but negativity is like oxygen for me, to which she replied, yes. And have you ever considered maybe that's why you're not happy, Jen? You are what you attract. I'm wondering how that conversation hit you.
Oh, that one. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of that's one that I have a lot, both with her and just myself, even because I, you know, my whole thing is I have a cottage industry of people. Punching people in the throat,
right?
You know, my whole thing is to sort of be a grouch and to be grumpy and to be angry about things. But I think that kind of I'm like the newer, kinder, gentler, more zen. I think I'm just more zen now at this point. I'm trying to let everyone do their own thing and stay in my lane and not let things bother me as much as they used to, because it was kind of tough. And I think that was part of my problem too, with maybe with the friendship thing too, is that who wants to hang around someone who does nothing but complain all day?
Yeah.
So, and I appreciate that too, that I have friends that will kind of check me.
I think, you know, one thing it strikes me that you're sort of suggesting here is that as time goes along, it's easy to get away from being candid and honest and open with your spouse, with your friends. You sort of get into a groove and life rolls along. And what I hear you saying is that maybe that's something you got to check and take a hard look at.
Absolutely. Cause I think that's the thing. You get into this whole rut. That was a good word, right? Because it's like, you're just sort of getting through the day. You're literally looking at your calendar and your to-do list. And you're like, I just have to do these things. And then when your friends or your husband or your spouse or whoever tries to check in with you and is like, how are you? And you're like, I'm fine. You know, that's not the answer. Like, that's not going to get you any further along with your relationship with them or even with your day. So I'm trying to do better with that. And I'm trying to be a better listener as well. Cause I think that's also the other thing. The other part of it is that when I ask someone how they are, I better have 15 minutes to really hear how they are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, the new book again, Midlife Bites, anyone else falling apart or is it just me? Today's the publication date, right? Or is it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. So it's out. It's in the bookstores now. And you got a couple events coming up. Are you doing them or is COVID going to mess you up at the Green Door Saturday?
Yes. The Green Door is definitely happening Saturday.
4 o'clock Saturday, the Green Door Bookstore, 7713 West 151st Street in Overland Park. There's one Tuesday at SkillPath. Is that happening?
That one has been postponed. We are going to reschedule that one.
But if you want to see Jen, 4 o'clock Saturday at the Green Door out on 151st Street in Overland Park. Well, Jen, it's always a pleasure to have you here. I admire your courage for writing this book, and I bet you're going to do a lot of women a whole lot of good with this one.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet.